We are continuing this series entitled Fearless. Can you say fearless? Say fearless one more time. Fearless, yes, fearless, finding courage in God. And so over the last few weeks, we've been talking about some different people. We spoke about Joshua on the first week. Stephen came and spoke on David the second week. Last week, we spoke on Hannah. And this week, we're actually going to take a moment and speak about Caleb. And so Deuteronomy chapter 6, and Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. And this is going to be the passage of scripture that I'm going to kind of start here, but then I'm also going to jump over to Numbers chapter 13. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, but I'm also going to go over to Numbers chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "Then he," speaking of God, "brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which we swore to our fathers." Can you guys read that with me? "Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which we swore to our fathers." One more time. "Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which we swore to our fathers." He brought us out so that he could bring us in. He didn't just bring us out to bring us out, but he brought us out to bring us in. And so, God, we thank you that we're here today, and we thank you that you brought us out of bondage, and you brought us out of slavery, and you brought us out of sin in order that you might bring us in to something beautiful, that you might bring us into your blessing and into your promises. And God, I pray that you'll use your scripture this morning to speak to us and to minister to us. And I pray that you will be exalted and glorified, and that your name will be lifted high above every other name today. God, we just pray for everyone who's here today, God. I just pray that you'll minister to them and that you'll speak to them in your own special way, Father. And I just pray that whatever I put forward that you will use to minister, God. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen. "And then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers." You know, the nation of Israel, and you can flip over to Numbers chapter 13 if you want to, Numbers chapter 13, verses 17 through 20. It says, essentially, that the nation of Israel, kind of give you a little bit of context, was freshly out of Egypt. God had miraculously led them out of captivity. He had brought them a redeemer named Moses, whom he had called in the wilderness on the far side of a mountain. And Moses didn't have much to offer, but God wanted to use him. Moses was 80 years old when God called him, and God wanted to use him. And so he used him to set the people of Israel free. And they escaped Egypt, and as soon as they escaped Egypt, the Pharaoh realized what had happened, and he pursued them, and Pharaoh and all of his army were and captured by the Red Sea. And God had, the people of Israel had escaped the Pharaoh and his armies, and they had experienced God's miraculous protection and provision and direction in the wilderness. And Moses led them to the border of Israel. And this is the first time that they had come there to the border of Canaan. And so we read in Numbers chapter 13, it says, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, 'Go up this way into the south and go into the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who are, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, or if they're few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage.'" Can you say, "Be of good courage"? "Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes." And so essentially what Moses did is he picked 12 spies to go into the land. They went into the land and they explored Canaan. And in fact, it's interesting because if you look at just kind of like where they went, and if you look at a biblical map, like if this is Israel, they started down in the south. And they went all the way up to the farthest part of the north. And then they went a little bit east. And then they came all the way back down to the south again. And so, you know, it's interesting because I think when the first, you know, when I've heard the story before, I kind of thought it was, oh, they went in and they went out. But this was actually a little bit of a trek. They went in from the Kadesh region in the south, and they went as far north as Lebo Hamath. It was about 150 miles they went up, and then they came all the way back down again. And this wasn't a small journey. This was a big journey that involved hills and deserts, and they saw many cities. And the journey, if you keep on reading in the text there, you see that the journey took them about 40 days to travel throughout Israel from the bottom all the way up, from the bottom of Israel all the way up to the top, all the way back down again. And then in Numbers chapter 13, verse 27, we read of the report. It says, "And then they told him, and they said, 'We went to the land where you sent us, and it truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit,'" because they grabbed some fruit while they were there. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." And so this is just their report. And so first, Moses sends them out. They go and they travel up and down Canaan. They go through the hills and the valleys and the deserts, and they see all the cities. And then they come back and they're like, yeah, this is the report. They're just giving facts here. They said, "We went to the land and it's flowing with milk and honey, but the people there are strong. They're giants. They're descendants of Anak. In fact, the Amalekites dwell in the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites live in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the water. And the cities are fortified, and they're very large." And so they're just kind of giving a report of everything that they saw. They're like, "Hey, we went to the land, and unfortunately, when we went to the land, it wasn't just a land with some people dwelling in caves. It wasn't a land where the cities weren't fortified. It wasn't a land where that was sparsely populated. But when we went into the land, there was a lot of enemies there. There were the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Canaanites. And we also saw some giants when we went into the land. If you take a look at the descendants of Anak, Goliath, they think was a descendant of Anak. They think they were descendants of the Nephilim. So this was kind of a jarring report. This is what they saw. This is the facts. We went through the land. This is what we saw. This is the facts of what we saw. I don't know if you've ever felt like this before in your life, where God has called you to something, and you've went and you've taken a closer look at what he's called you to, and you realize that what he called you to is maybe not as easy as you thought. What he drew you to was maybe not quite as easy as you thought. I can remember when I got my first ministry opportunity, and I was so excited to begin ministering as a youth pastor, so excited about it. And I don't think I looked close enough at what I was supposed to be doing, because I got to the place and I realized that the place that God had called me to was much more difficult than what I thought he was going to call me to. You ever been there before? Or you're just really, you met someone, you feel like God has called you to someone, you feel like they're the perfect spouse. And once you start dating and once you realize, wait a minute, this thing that God has called me to is maybe not what I feel like. This is not what he's called me to. And so this is the land. They look at the land. They're like, hey, like it is indeed flowing with milk and honey. It's indeed a good land. There's good fruit in the land. But the people are strong, and the cities are fortified, and the cities are very large. And so there are two responses from the spies that went into the land. The first response is from Caleb in verse 30. It says, "And then Caleb quieted the crowd before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take the possessions, for we are well able to overcome it.'" Positive response. The second response is from the other spies, and this is what they said in verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants." The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. And so we get a couple of reports. And so first of all, the 10 spies, they're like, "Hey, listen, we went through the whole land. It was flowing with milk and honey, but this land will devour us, and these people are of great stature, and the cities are fortified. And this isn't a good idea. In fact, I think we need to head back into the desert." The beautiful thing about being in the desert is that we know that God is leading us. We know that God is feeding us in the desert. The great thing about the desert is that we can play it safe. The great thing about the desert is that there's not very many risks. We don't see all these enemies in the desert. We've already experienced enough hardships in the last few weeks. Let's just take a moment. Let's think about an easier path. This kind of seems insane. Can anyone relate with the 10 spies this morning? Does that sound like God, I've already been through enough. I've already experienced enough hardships. I've already gone through enough trials. We just got out of Egypt. We'd been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. And now you've let us out. And now that we're on the brink of the it just looks like there's too much difficulties in front of me from here. And so I think let's just play it safe. Let's not take the risk. We have already experienced enough hardship, enough pain in the last few weeks. Let's just stay in the desert a little bit longer. In fact, we've already experienced some loss. We've already experienced some hardship. And so let's just take some time and regroup in the desert. Let's spend some time and maybe we'll attack some village people up in the mountains. Let's just take some time and sharpen our spears and sharpen our knives. Let's just take some time and maybe eat some food and think about it. And let's just take time and let's just sit back for a while. You know, we've already been doing a lot of stuff for a long time, and I really feel like it's time for us to just rest. In fact, I think we should just stay in the desert for a little while longer and follow the Lord and be fed a little while longer and follow the Lord and eat manna just a little bit longer. I think that sounds like a great plan. The Lord has taken us out. So let's just stay out for a little while longer. But Caleb said, "No, let's go in. Let's do it. Let's go up and let's overcome this land." It's interesting because when you think about the spies were responding out of fear. They were responding, and it's interesting because I really feel like fear has a way of keeping us from God's promises, you know? Fear has a way of making us stagnant. Fear has a way of limiting us to one place. Fear has a way of crippling us. It freezes us. It holds us captive. They were responding out of fear. When I was a young child, my mother can testify to this. My mom's here, by the way. Can we give her a hand? Yeah. Yeah. When I was a young child, me and my sister, Angela, who's just younger than me, were very competitive. And we, actually, at least I was competitive with her. I don't think she was competitive with me, but I always wanted to beat her at things. And I remember we had a piano in our dining room, and we would go out and tinker on it. And my mom, unbeknownst to me, signed my sister up for piano lessons. And I got very upset because I felt like if my sister takes piano lessons, I want to take piano lessons. And so my mom reluctantly signed me up for piano. I don't know if it was reluctantly or not. She was excited to sign me up for piano. And I started playing, and I enjoyed it. And I felt like it was something that God had given me to be a ministry, even from a young age. Like I enjoyed, I would try to pick apart we had a hymnal book, and I tried to pick it apart. And I remember we had recitals for piano, and I was petrified. I'd go up and I'd try to play, and I'd always freeze up. And my senior year in high school, my piano teacher said, hey, I want you to go and play this this practicum, this competition. And I practiced, and I practiced, and I practiced. I went and I played. And I was so nervous, I was shaking the piano. That's how nervous I was. And he said, well, perhaps this isn't for you, being in front of people. I'm like, perhaps it isn't. And so I remember it goes on into college. And in college, the same thing. Like, I could practice fine. I could do that fine. But as soon as it was time for the practicum, Miss Sue, I would be shaking, and the piano would be shaking, and people, my teacher probably thought I did terrible at the practicums. But I still felt like this was something that God was calling me to, and I kept on, like, pushing forward. I'm like, okay, I need to do this. The first church that we served at, the worship leader said, you know, we actually need someone to play the piano. I'm like, oh my goodness, so reluctantly, I'm like, okay, sure, I'll play. And I remember the first Sunday that I played, I was shaking behind the piano. They probably thought I was adding vibrato to the notes. I was shaking behind the piano, and I was sweating profusely. I remember the first time that I preached. It was a Sunday night, and there was a handful of people at the church. First time that I preached. And I preached from, when Peter was in prison. And I was so sick to my stomach before I preached. I think I used the bathroom like 10 times. And I got up, and I thought I had like a 20-minute, 30-minute presentation together. I think Judy might have been at the sermon. And praise the Lord. Give her a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Aaron and I were still dating, and my 30-minute message was, I think, about 5 minutes of me sweating and freaking out about what was going to happen. And oh, my goodness. But it was something that I feel like God had called me to. And it's interesting how fear has a way of crippling us. And fear has a way of making us stagnant. And fear has a way of limiting us and freezing us and keeping a hold on us. And it's interesting because I think some of us are so afraid of the unknown, or we're so afraid of the giants in front of us, that we would rather wander in the wilderness than step into God's promises. The ten spies responded out of fear. Man, I just, the cities are fortified. The enemies are many. The giants are there. We would rather stay in the wilderness than step into God's promises. And I wonder how many of us here, perhaps, are staying in the wilderness instead of stepping into God's promises. God does not promise us a easy path when we follow him. In fact, you can read in the book of Joshua all the battles that they fought once they entered the promised land. It wasn't like when they entered the promised land, the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Huzites and the whatsoever. Like, it wasn't like they just rolled out a red carpet and they said, all right, come in and take the... No, like there was hardships and there were trials and there were persecutions and there were deaths and there were battles. I wonder how many of us wander in the wilderness instead of stepping into God's promises. God took us out so that he might bring us in. You with me this morning? He took us out so that he might bring us in. He didn't take us out so that we'd just be out and wandering in the wilderness. He took us out so that he might bring us in. The 10 spies, they responded out of fear. Well, we're just not entirely sure. We've experienced some hardships and trials already, and the Pharaoh was mean and his army was mean, and we've already experienced a lot. Let's just stay where we're at for a while. But the two spies, Caleb and Joshua, responded in confidence in God's promises. I'm not sure if you realize this, but this was actually a huge moment for the nation of Israel. This was a massive moment for the nation of Israel. In fact, even right now, there is conflict going on right now in Israel over this moment of who exactly needs to be in charge or who needs to dwell in this land. This is a huge moment. And if you're a Christian, you can see that it goes back to Israel. It doesn't go back to the Palestine. It goes back to Israel. In fact, if you go 430 years earlier, you can see that God made a promise to Abraham, and the spies knew and were confident in God's promises. And God's promises are yes and amen, and God's promises are true. God, like the things that he promised in the past are the things that we can hold on to today, right? But this is what he said 430 years earlier to Abraham. He said, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make a nation of you. And the kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. Also, I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. This was a promise from 430 years earlier. It might have taken a little while. It might not have been right away. It might not have been the way that Abraham thought it would lay out. But God was faithful to his promises. God was faithful to his promises. Where has God called you? Where has God led you? Where is God drawing you to? Because I believe where God is leading us, this might sound crazy, but where God is leading us, that is where we should be. Where God is leading us, that is where we should be. And then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in. He brought us out from there that he might bring us in. You know, it kind of throws me off because when I read the passage, just take a look at this real quick in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. Take a look at this real quick. It says, and then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel from each tribe of their fathers. You shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. Let me read that again. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. So, who told Moses to send the spies into Canaan? Who? Yeah, the Lord, God. Who told Moses to pick leaders from each tribe and to send them in as spies? The Lord, right? Can I be honest? If I were God, and I'm not, praise the Lord, but if I were God, I would just send the people into the land. I'd be like, you know what? Ignorance is bliss. Don't worry about it. Just go in. I'll take care of everything. Just go in. Don't worry about it. You're going to go in and there's going to be some difficulties, but I'm going to be with you. And when you go in, I'm going to have you march around the city 7 times. And you're going to blow your trumpets, and the walls are going to fall down. And then you're going to go in and attack the Jebusites and the Hittites, and you're going to kill all the giants and whatever. Like, I'm just go in. You don't even need to know. And sometimes there's a thing God works like that. Sometimes God just sends you into a situation, and you have no idea what's going on. Like me, when I was a youth pastor, I was completely clueless. I just went in. Oh, praise the Lord. In some ways, I'm like, why didn't God just send them in without worrying about the spies? Doesn't that make more sense? Like, if you're teaching your kid how to swim, sometimes you just kick them in and let them swim, right? But I feel like, okay, maybe you don't. Erase that from the recording. But I think sometimes it's like, man, it'd make more sense, perhaps, for God not to send in the spies. Does anyone agree with me? Like, why send in the spies? Why get the spies all shook up? The spies come back. Well, like, it just seems like, why didn't he just send them in? Because when they went in, they saw the giants, they saw the difficulties, they saw the trials, they saw all the hardships that were in front of them. Just send them in. But I think the reason why God sent the spies in is because he was testing their faith. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. So when you're standing on the brink of God's promises, I guess maybe the question is, what are you seeing? When you're standing on the brink of the thing that he's calling you to, what are you seeing? Are you seeing all the problems? Are you seeing all the giants? Are you seeing all the difficulties? Are you seeing the waves? Are you seeing, man, all we got is 5 loaves and 2 fish? Like, I just don't feel like this is enough to do what God has called us to. Like, what are you seeing when you're standing at the brink of God's promises? Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. What are you seeing? When you know that God has called you to something, what are you seeing? Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. I think how we see things has a huge impact on what we do. Some people see God's calling on their life as a burden. It's true. These kids, this husband, this ministry, this church, whatever. Some people see God's calling on their life as a burden. Other people can see God's calling on their life as an opportunity to let God come and move through us gloriously. You know what I'm talking about this morning? He has called us out so that he might bring us in. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not called you out to leave you out. He did not bring you out of bondage to waste away in the desert and play it safe. He has brought you out to bring you out, to bring you in. He has brought you out to bring you in. What's keeping you out from God's promises? Are you sitting on the brink of Canaan looking in and looking at all the hardships and looking at all the difficulties? Or are you saying, God, I know you brought me out, and I know you will bring me in. I know that your promises are true. I know that your promises are yes and amen. I know that if you've said it, I can believe it. I know that if you said it, I can know that I know that I know that I know. There might be giants in front of me. There might be enemies and fortified cities in front of me, but I can have faith in your promises. I don't have to keep on wandering in the wilderness, but I can step into what you have called me to, because you will sustain me and you will lead me through it. Lord, I pray for all those here this morning and all those listening online. Father, may you minister to them and speak to them this morning. I feel like there are some people that have been teetering on your promises. They've been staying in the desert instead of coming into your promises. They've been staying in the desert because of fear. They've been staying into the desert because of complacency. They've been staying in the desert because of the just feeling like they aren't enough. But God, I pray this morning that you will encourage them and embolden them and just remind them of your promises so that they can step into their God-given calling, Father. I pray that you will minister to them this morning. That should be glorified. And as we sing this song one last time, may your Spirit just continue to move.